Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who are new or visiting or have been away, we've been doing this series in January called Journeys, which is people sharing their journeys about their life in Christ with us and where they've come from and the obstacles they've had to overcome. Now, these guys have already started talking about themselves, and we're just going to fill in a few more gaps and some things we won't need to ask that they've already shared with us. I was reminded when Bron was praying for them, she prayed about a heritage, a good heritage. And these guys have a goodly heritage. Psalm 16, verse 6 says, "Our lives have fallen on pleasant places, and we have a goodly heritage." Now, if you were a racehorse breeder, you'd be in Karaka at the moment, and you'd be looking at the horses going up and down, and you'd be looking at their sires and their dams and looking at, you know, whether they were bred to run 2 miles or whatever it is. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about genetics, although I'm sure they're great as well. We're talking about spiritual heritage. And I can tell you just a couple of things by way of introduction about these guys' goodly heritage. I know that, for example, David Wood, who's here, Gareth's father, I was on Scripture Union Council with him, and it was a wonderful time to be there, and I know what a wonderful man he is, and I'm sure, I don't know Gareth's mother very well, but I'm sure he's grown up in that kind of family. And on Kara's side, it's amazing how, as a Kiwi, you have these weird connections. Kara went to Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I taught at Calvin College. In fact, I taught at a time when she was actually studying, and of course we never met, although as part of her job she went and interviewed a certain young runner in Ann Arbor, Michigan, for a magazine. So she's already met Nick and Sierra, my son and his wife. So there's a goodly heritage there. We're getting someone who I mean, on Kara's side, in terms of her education. She went to an amazing Christian college, and I say that without a word of a lie. I know a lot of Christian colleges, and there's some incredible things going on at Calvin College. So perhaps, Kara, you could start off, since we heard a bit about Gareth's family, tell us a little bit about where you came from and where you grew up and what kind of family.
Well, you kind of covered it. I've got two amazing parents. I have a brother, Justin. He's 2 years older than I am. Went to Calvin College, did a Bachelor of Arts in Literature and Journalism, met Gareth. We crossed eyes in a courtyard in the Vatican City in Rome, so definitely a bit of a God story there.
People seem to meet in Rome, don't they?
Yeah, we're in good company. And we're expecting a baby boy.
And Gareth, you mentioned a little bit of your background, but did you go straight into training for the ministry, or did you do something before that?
Yeah, I've done a variety of things. I was one of those young people that weren't too sure where they wanted to go in life after high school. So if you're one of those young people, it's okay. So I ended up drifting off to university, and I did a varied degree and ended up majoring in philosophy. After that, I wasn't quite sure what to do, because where does that go? I ended up a whole variety of things, but ended up teaching and was a primary school teacher for 5 years. And it was during that time when Kira and I met. And I just adding on that story, when we met, had we been only seconds different, our lives would have never intersected and never would. And so that was a real gift in our lives. But it was during teaching.
Sounds
when...
Sounds like you've got mail, doesn't it?
When I was teaching, that's when I think we felt that there was the God was leading us to put teaching to the side at present and to train for ministry. Yeah.
And while you've still got the mic, tell us a little bit about your Christian journey. When did you make a decision on your own to follow Christ?
Yeah. Well, Kira and I both share a common thread here, is that it's really the blessing of having grown up in Christian Christian parents. And so for you who are parents today, I just really want to encourage you, just the significance you make on your children. I know for mum and dad, God was always part of our world. Dad really encouraged us at a young age to engage with things like Bible readings. And so we were doing our own Bible devotions from a young age. Mum's always encouraged us to with sometimes authority to make sure that we are following God's ways. But one of the things that really I think jumps out to me is I have lots of friends who came from Christian backgrounds, and they were good at sport, and they were good at academia, they were good at music, well-liked people. But one thing that mum and dad, I know, always encourage us kids is that faith was the most important. And even though they did give us opportunities in the other, there was never a question about where different things sat. And so I know there's no magic formula to whether a child chooses to make their own decision to follow Jesus. But I just, I would like to encourage people just how significant that is. Yeah.
Yep. Wrote some things down. I did grow up in a Christian family, and particularly grew in faith when I was a preteen. We had a couple of deaths in the family and close friends, and that really knocked me for six. And my mum was also going through some surgeries at the time. She's fit and healthy now, but as a young kid, that was pretty hard to deal with. I thought that she was probably going to be the next on the list. So God became my solace and my rock during that time. And, if I was scared or feeling lonely, I would go into the Psalms and just, highlight my little, I don't know if any of you guys know Salty, the singing hymn book, like I had my little Salty Bible, and I would go and I would highlight things in the Psalms that were encouraging to me. And so that was where my faith started. Went to quite a few camps and was involved in mission trips in my later teen years and into university, and that really just highlighted to me where God is at in my life and in the world, and really encouraged me to see beyond myself. I always actually thought I'd be a missionary, and now I'm a pastor's wife, so it's pretty much the same thing.
Now, in your ministry together, you committed yourself to full-time ministry after you were married, right?
Yes.
So you've been there together the whole time.
Yep.
Has it always been easy? I mean, tell us a bit about some of the bumps in your ministry that you have probably made you the people you are to come and serve here.
Yeah. Okay, so I completely thought of a different answer to this question than the question has turned into. Can I tell you a little bit? I'll tell you a little bit of my story. And one of the really impacting things in my faith journey was when I ran university, I became introduced to things of the Holy Spirit, which had been outside of hadn't been a strong part of my upbringing. And I got really excited about this, and this involved me getting involved with the new church, and I threw myself 110% into it. Post-university, I ended up volunteering to help the youth leader there, and it was just wonderful. And then all of a sudden, the leadership of the church changed, and this thing that I'd invested in just sort of dissipated, and the church was about 400, and it shrunk to 70 people, and I was actually left confused, not because of anything I was doing, but just the environment around me. And following that journey, a guy from church, a neat guy, was trying to get up an IT company, and he asked me to come and work for him, but almost 2 years later, and not being paid anything, that impacted that season of my life, and it made me a bit questionable about not church. Never gave up on church, but it impacted me. And so I think one thing that's been really significant in my life, though, has been actually meeting Kira. But it's through these things that you look and you see these things that have happened to you that you still see God at work. It was during that time that I met one of my good friends who I ended up traveling with, through whom I met Kira. And I was actually having someone like Kira who together we were able to make the decision we're going to go off to ministry together. And it was having someone like Kira who had five job offers in Auckland for good schools. She'd just done the 1-year teachers college course, and she had all those offers sitting there. And she was still okay leaving all those things behind to go up to small town New Zealand, Dargaville, because we felt like that's where God was leading us. And neither of us are small town people. We're square pegs in a round hole up there. But I think because of this gift God's given us, we were able to thrive in a foreign environment. And so those are some of the things I think have really shaped us. And even this last year, we were 5 years in Dargaville, and we were starting to have a look, we're wondering if there's some space for what's next. And in that process, we were asked to go down to Mosgiel to lead a church plant. And it wasn't what we had anticipated. And it's actually been a really tough year for us. We made the decision that actually the church plant didn't need to be going ahead. There were other ways to do mission in this community than a whole new church. But it still has really shaken me. But being able to journey this together, I think God's been so faithful in the people he's brought around our lives. And that's a bit about my story.
As Gareth was just saying, this past year has been a real challenging one for us. We began the year stuck in the States for an extra 3 weeks after visiting my family with a miscarriage, which was, one of the hardest things we've journeyed with. We left Dargaville to pursue the church plant, which, as Gareth said, was completely not what we had expected. Our little dog died as well throughout the course of the year, and it's just not a year that we would ever want to repeat. But I think in his questions, Richard asked what a Bible verse would be that we find solace in during times like these. And mine is Zephaniah 3:17. We serve a God who looks over us. He's mighty to save. He delights in us, and he quiets us with his singing. And, that's the God that I serve, and that's the God that gives me peace during these tough times.
Wonderful. And perhaps just the last question, and I kind of didn't ask you this in the pre-questions, but I think it's useful. You've been through your interview, and you've submitted all your applications, and you've come here, and you've seen this weird bunch of people that you're going to be serving. What is it that you have a real passion for that you want to do? Just a couple of things. Yeah. Now that you're here, what is it that's really on your heart that you feel you can contribute to this body of people?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I was in a church context where I was sole pastor, but had a team, and I was leading a church. And I think one thing for me coming here, and it hasn't been asked in this regard, but one thing that I actually see as a ministry for me, it's actually getting behind Rob. And, I won't understand everything he's going through, but there'll be some aspects that I think I'll be able to share and encourage with that, in some areas I didn't have someone who could get behind the vision necessary straight as easily in that capacity. So I actually see that as one of the main things here. Even though he hasn't asked for that, I actually see that that's one of the things that I've responded to. But we love church. And we want to see people come to know and love Jesus. And so really we just want to get involved in the life of the church. One of our big, one of the things that was like a broken record when I was up in Dargaville was I always said that, the greatest ministry of church is you guys. The greatest ministry of church is when each one of us takes steps of faith in our day-to-day lives. And it may be very ordinary little things, but the significance of what we've seen God move when someone has taken the time to pray for someone who they've just been talking with and something hard's come up, and then down the track that person has ended up connecting with church and then brings their family along and then brings their friends along, and just over one little thing, and then sometimes it's over years and years of nothing seeming to happen. So we'd love to get behind that and encourage you and hopefully allow you guys to encourage us too.
I'm just going to ask Debbie. Debbie, can you come up and pray with me over them? Debbie Malloy is a fellow elder, for those of you who are visiting. Let's pray for these guys as we've already been commissioned, but let's pray for some of these detailed things. Father God, we bless you for the gift of these two people. We thank you that they've shared their hearts about what they really feel they're here to do. We pray for Rob, our senior pastor, and thank you that Gareth's come to be his 2IC. We ask your blessing upon the leadership team in the church, Lord, and we just continue to ask that your Holy Spirit would hover over them and gift them and empower them to do the things that they have on their hearts.
Lord, I can only really add, amen. Amen.
Amen indeed. Amen. Thank you.